Welcome to the Dual Shockers Shockcast. This is episode 132. Sorry we missed you guys last week. We had some technical difficulties. Definitely apologize for that.
It's his fault.
This is what?
It's his fault. It's your fault.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely my fault. You know. We also, we got rid of Joel because I killed him. And then we have a studio audience, so just want to let you guys know. We're making a lot of changes. We've got a lot to talk about. A lot of things are happening this week. May 21st, tomorrow, or when you listen to this, it'll be today, is going to be... Who do we lose? Oh, we lost Alyssa. Okay, she'll be back.
She'll come back.
We've got a lot to cover. Pretty much everything is dropping tomorrow. But before we get into that, Giuseppe has the new releases for this week.
Okay, so here's what's coming out this week. Ratchet & Clank Full Frontal Assault for the PSN, Resident Evil Revelation for basically everything, Fast & Furious Showdown for basically everything as well, Colo Quares Gunslinger for the PSN and PC, Men's Room Mayhem for the PSN, which is a toilet simulator. That's very interesting. Grid 2 for PSN, PC, basically everything besides the Wii U, because it doesn't deserve it. Mugen Souls for the PSN. Star Trek Online Legacy of Romulus, great game for the PC. Great piece of shit. Airland Battle is released on Steam for PC. The Incredible Adventure of Van Helsing for PC. Passing Time for the PSN, Kirby's Dream Course for the Wii U. Oh wow, really? It's the WiiWare titles.
You almost got excited
because the Wii U doesn't have games. So yeah, I was like, oh wow, yeah, three old style Super Nintendo Kirby games: Kirby Dream Course, Kirby Superstar, Kirby's Dream Land 3. I hate Kirby. Donkey Kong Country Returns 3D for the 3DS. Sniper Elite Double. A Wii U game. They're getting Sniper Elite 2. Wow, yeah. Great game. Mm.
If you played it last Dust, year, whenever it came out.
Dust and Elysian Trail for PC. That's it.
What do you pick, Giuseppe?
Do I have to?
If I had a gun to your head and said pick a game for this week,
I'm gonna take the Men's Room Simulation.
I had a feeling you were gonna say that. What about Grid 2, though? I thought you like.
I like racing game. I like Starship Simulators.
Oh, okay. Well, actually, that's my pick. I'm gonna go with Legacy of Romulus. Yeah. No, it's been a long time coming for the Romulans to be added to the game, and I mean, it's not a perfect game, but it's compared to Star Trek Online from 2010, they've made a lot of improvements.
Well, I mean, it can be worse than the TPS, I guess.
Which one? Oh, the game that I reviewed. Yeah, no.
Yeah, it can be worse than that.
I don't know what's worse than that.
I mean, Star Trek Online is definitely the best Star Trek game out now.
It definitely captures Star Trek, yeah. I definitely give it that.
Well, I mean, it doesn't say much, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, it's better than Star Trek Legacy as well. That came out, like 5 years ago at this point?
Yeah. As I say, it's the best Star Trek game out now. So what's your pick, Alyssa?
Out of those games? I guess I'd have to go with the Kirby ones.
Oh, wow, really? Okay.
She's not even picking this generation. She's like, fuck that.
I know, right? I'm just like, whatever.
So we've got a lot to cover. There's obviously a huge event tomorrow.
But we can't talk about it because it's tomorrow.
It's tomorrow. But it's happening. So we'll probably talk about it next week. Square Enix is teasing something that they're going to announce sometime this week. And the following games are rumored. You've got Versus 13 for the PS3 and or PS4. Or it's Final Fantasy 15, which was just they took Versus 13, made it to 15 for the PS4 or PS3 or both. Or it's a Realm Reborn for the PS4, which they've already said, if, I don't know, correct me if I'm wrong, Giuseppe, but they've said that they're thinking about it right now, or it's a possibility.
Yep. I mean, they say that they want it to as many platforms as possible. Of course, all of those games could come to the next Xbox as well. You never know.
Yeah.
You know.
Well, yeah,
they went away from an exclusivity with Final Fantasy 13. So there is no reason to think that they couldn't do the same for the next Final Fantasy. You know.
Mm-hmm. And Final Fantasy 11.
Definitely.
That went to the 360.
Well, yeah, but the Final Fantasy 11 was a little different because Final Fantasy 11 was released in the 360 before the current Xbox Live policies were put in place. So Final Fantasy 14 is the only one that I see it a little difficult to come on the next Xbox because of the Xbox Live policies that basically forbid any kind of cross-platform game. And Final Fantasy 14 is a cross-platform MMORPG, and it's difficult to think that they would want to do an Xbox only server, because that kind of game isn't very targeted to a console audience, because console gamers always are very volatile. They move to the next game very fast. So I don't think a server that had only one console on it would last very long.
Yeah.
But you know, that could be everything. Could also be, you know, a new game for the Xbox to be released tomorrow, to be revealed tomorrow. Or it could be, you know, it could even just be the release date for Final Fantasy 14 for the PC and PS3 that we already know.
Yeah, I mean, it was a very, very, I don't know, such a broad statement that they made that they're just going to announce something.
Let's be excited.
Yeah, you know, yeah. Oh God, that PS4 thing. That's like a dagger in me. Please, but they're begging people.
Could also be completely something, you know, completely irrelevant, because the thing was teased by the Twitter account that was from Square Enix Events. You know, there is this Square Enix Events in their account, so it could be an event that we couldn't care the least about. You know.
Yeah.
It doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, a game.
Yeah, I think they're saving that for Free 3. I'm sorry, listen.
I know that they actually have to. Sorry?
No, I was just going to say, to be honest, I'm honestly not very hyped about this, because I'm still pretty mad at Square Enix when they announced, when they were making this big deal about The World Ends With You, and everyone thought it was going to be a sequel and happened to love that game, and then it turned out they were just porting it to the iOS.
People like that kind of stupid cell phone games. Stupid, I said stupid cell phone games.
Shots fired.
But not the people who like The World Ends With You. That's the problem.
Well, you know, the problem is that when a Twitter account teases something, it could be something big, could be something small, you know, we never know about that. But it could, you know, it could simply be that the release date for Final Fantasy 14 or Realm Reborn, because it has to come this week. They actually said that they would announce the release date around the 20th, and the 20th was yesterday. So it's probably coming, if not any moment. That could be that, or could be something else. We really don't have much to go on. Someone said Kingdom Hearts 3. I mean,
I know. Yeah, like that'll happen.
That feels like a long shot at this point, though.
Yeah.
I honestly never cared for. I'm probably the only one that doesn't care shit for the Kingdom Hearts franchise.
Oh no, me too.
I don't like Disney.
I'm right there with you, man. I'm right there with you.
I don't like Disney. I don't care for Disney. So why should I play a game with Mickey Mouse and Donald Duck, and I hate those things.
I'm looking forward to DuckTales, though. I'll play that.
Yeah,
Disney
I'm looking
game.
Forward to Burn It.
Well, it's a digital game. Sorry, Giuseppe, you can't.
No, actually, I have to say, DuckTales was one of the very, very, very few Disney cartoons that I actually liked. despite
oh, really?
Disliking dislike despite disliking Disney, I always had a little more like for the ducks over the mouses and stuff, you know.
Not to mention, it had Maishi. The best theme song ever.
Yeah.
DuckTales.
Yeah, don't sing it, please.
All right, I'll stop.
Okay, so yeah, we pretty much there isn't much else to say here, unless someone of you has something to add.
Please be excited. You know, whatever.
Yeah.
All right, so let's move along. Okay, so EA, that's another company. They announced that they're discontinuing their online pass. And I don't know, the reaction to that was not as big as I thought it would be. People have been, like, trashing online passes forever. And EA announces we're not going to do it anymore, and it's like, well, not you, but I mean, like, you know, Gen Pop.
Yeah.
Like, they hate the online pass, and I figured people would be like, it would be like New Year's Eve.
They're probably like, expecting something worse.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, everyone hates EA, so when they when you hate someone and then someone, you know, tells you they're doing something good, you're expecting that he's going to backstab you as soon as you turn around.
Mm-hmm. I actually think
it's mostly a marketing move on their part, and there is possibly not going to be a consequence over that, but, you know, we'll see.
I would hope not, but
I'm a fervent supporter of the right of, you know, of developers and publishers to defend themselves from the used market. So, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I understand that. I just don't like it when it really, like, goes overboard and it messes things up for the consumer. You're trying.
Yeah, but, you know, the online pass didn't really go overboard. You could the game, and if you wanted to play it online, you paid, like, how much was that? $5, $10.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's, no, I kind of understand
you still
that.
Saved money in the end. You still saved money in the end, and you gave something to the developers. I mean, I don't feel good playing a game without paying for it, and I mean paying for it to the people that made it.
Right.
Maybe I'm alone here, but you know, I like to actually, you know, contribute to finance the next games that are coming. Because if everyone bought used stuff like at GameStop, you know, we wouldn't get any games because GameStop doesn't make the games.
Yeah, if you told me to choose between an online pass and not being a like spending $10 on an online pass for a used game I bought, or not being able to play a used game on my system entirely, I'll take the online pass any day of the week. I'll spend the extra $10 if I really want to play the game online. I'll spend the extra $10 on top of the fact. I'm only spending, what, like $15, $25 to buy the game? You know, I think that's pretty fair.
When you get it.
Yeah, I think it's pretty fair for the consumer who wants to buy a used game at the reduced price. You know, the publisher gets a little bit, and we get to play the game.
But they're evil.
No, they're evil. So now you guys got rid of the online pass, and now the rumor is that... Whoa. Exactly. Now the rumor is that they're getting rid of the online pass just to get ready to block used games entirely.
I will see. I honestly doubt it for a simple reason. And the reason I doubt it for is that it would be like a completely, like, too evident as a dick move. Like, they go around and say, oh, yeah, be happy for us. We removed the online pass. It would backfire on them. They definitely know that it would backfire on them if they did something like that. If they did it only to pave the road to block use the game completely. I don't think they are so stupid as to do something like that, because like it's like preparing yourself for backfiring.
Yeah, I mean, I hope that they're not stupid enough is the most I can say.
They're not stupid.
Dumb things, so.
Yeah, but they're not people with a degree in marketing working for a big corporation that's paying them $200,000 a year.
Mm.
You know, I mean, there is definitely a degree of talent there, because if you don't have any talent in marketing, you don't go you don't do that job.
Yeah.
I'll be okay with that.
The most important thing is that whatever they do, with, you know, used games or online passes or whatever comes next, that it doesn't look like they're attacking the consumer. Because, like, on paper, that's how it seems. But
yeah, you know,
that's where the marketing
the
comes
consumer,
in.
The consumer will feel attacked anyway, whatever they do.
Yeah, well,
the consumer feels attacked even when they are fighting piracy.
I know, yeah. Yeah. The consumer
is the most sensitive person ever.
Yeah, well, I mean,
this consumer person is very, very sensitive and butthurt.
No, of course. I'm sorry, people. Think it's about, like, minimizing that damage, though. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, trying to piss off the least amount of people as possible. Because there's always going to be a small group of people that's just, yeah, oh no.
It's yay.
I'm the first one to say that.
Even if they send flowers to your home, you're going to be pissed at them.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it gave you allergies, exactly.
I would probably be mad. I do get spring allergies. Fucking yay.
They send you a kitten in a little box, and you're allergic to cats.
Yeah.
Fucking dog was chased out of the house. All right, so yeah, EA, get your shit together.
Well, we'll have to see what they do. But honestly, I'm all in favor of trying to defend themselves from GameStop because it's GameStop's fault.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't understand why people aren't angry at GameStop, really.
Because they're getting the deals from GameStop. But
yeah, but GameStop is also the company that's stealing the money from the developers.
That's the problem,
but at the same time, though, they're just running a business. I mean, we can demonize GameStop, but if we do that, aren't we kind of doing the same thing to people on eBay and Amazon who sell their used games to other people? I mean,
it's a little less organized.
Well, they're not a huge corporation, yeah, but they're selling used games.
Organized crime is worse than, you know, a pickpocket.
I don't know. If I got pickpocketed, I'd probably be.
Yeah, I just compare GameStop to organized crime. I didn't really mean to say that, but you know, it's a problem. I mean, it's a problem because they know they are leeching off the industry, and they are also going around saying, "Oh yeah, but you know, we are doing it good. We're doing good for the industry. We are. It's so nice of us to do that."
You know what else, though? I mean, again, it comes back to the consumer. If the consumers hate what GameStop is doing, they could very easily just go and buy a new copy of the game.
Of course they don't, yeah. But they don't because they are not looking on the long term. They're looking at, oh yeah, I can get a game for $15. Oh yay, great.
Do you buy used games, Giuseppe?
Not even one.
Okay, good. Well, you got a better moral compass than I do. What about you, Alyssa? You buy used games? Don't be ashamed because I buy them too. It's fine.
She's ashamed.
Is she still here?
Yeah, yes, she is. Alyssa?
No, she's not here.
Alyssa went to the bathroom.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I mean, I buy used games because I think that, I mean, I don't like to look at it that black and white. I think that when you buy a used game, it, you know, like, if you like the game, then you may catch on to the developer, the publisher, and, you know, buy their next game at full price. That definitely happened with me with Mass Effect.
Right.
It was about, you know, like 2010, 2011, and I bought. What is that? Is that a cricket? I hate you.
That's my reaction.
I hate you. Well, look, long story short, then, all right, motherfucker. I bought Mass Effect 1 and 2, used, played them, and guess what? I bought Mass Effect 3 brand new. So, you know.
Yeah. So basically you gave money to the publisher for one game in three. Wow, you're really generous.
You're really generous. But also, when Mass Effect 4 comes out, I will pre-order that. Whatever game they announce at at E3, I mean, after playing the Mass Effect franchise, two used games, one new game, I have a lot of faith in BioWare as developer of those games, and I'll probably plunk down the $60 for their new games.
Yeah, but you know, that's a little bit of an excuse because still you didn't pay for all the products to the developer. You may actually give them money for Mass Effect 3, but you didn't contribute to finance it.
I'm broke, nigga. I'm broke. That's all I can
say. Yeah, I'm kind of broke too. You know what? Though there are plenty of alternatives to the used market. Because if you think about it, there are discounts, there are sales, there is stuff. You know what? The PC gamers didn't have a used market ever. And you know what? The market responded and gave them more sales.
Well, that's what
Steam.
That's what we said before, on the Shotcast, that if they obliterate used games, I'd like to see a model like Steam, because that's perfect.
That's probably what's going to happen.
Yeah,
because someone is going to cover that niche of people that need Steam for cheaper.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
If someone like Steam is not going to cover it, I'm pretty sure that like the PSN on or Xbox Live are going to cover it by themselves.
Yeah.
They're going to push more on the holiday sales that they already do, mm-hmm. but they're going to push more on them. Because in the end, when there is a niche, someone will cover it. Mm-hmm. And believe me or not, I'm totally in favor of, you probably believe me, I'm totally in favor of sales, because that's all money that still goes to the developer. You know,
yeah.
It's less money, but it's still money that goes to the developer.
Yeah.
If I buy a ton, like I don't buy used games, but I'm a total whore for Steam sales.
I think it's a good compromise.
Sorry?
It's a good compromise. You know,
I will spend like $200, and I will spend like $200 on the Christmas sale or more. Because I basically wait for a sale for all the games for almost all the games I want. And then I buy them all together. In fact, I played like 10% of my Steam games, because there is these sales that come out and say, oh crap, this game that I don't really want to play, but it's $5.
Yeah,
I gotta get it.
I've seen people on Twitter all the time say, I just spent such and such money on a Steam sale, and I probably won't play any of these games. They were just such a good price.
Yeah, I still have to play the two Batman Arkham Asylum Arkham City.
Oh, you're gonna love them.
It's not because I'm going to I didn't like them, but I waited to get them and now they're in queue, and you know, and I paid $5 each with all the DLC.
Now's the best time to play them before the new one comes out.
Oh yeah,
yeah, they're really good.
I'm definitely going to play them. In fact, I just re-downloaded Arkham Asylum.
Yeah.
So. But you know, I definitely will get use like deals when I get them, as long as the money goes where it should go.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm the kind of guy that will definitely pay more than the average at an Humble Bundle, for instance. You know,
go ahead, Alyssa. Because I was gonna say, like, your connection hates you today, so please.
I know it does.
No, go ahead.
I'm one of those people. I usually try to buy the game, you know, like actually new, so I can support developers. But I'm one of those people too that I'll like literally wait like a year, like by paying $60 for it, and I'll only buy used like if I just can't get the game anymore, like at all. And then I'll just be like, all right, whatever, I'm buying it used. So if they did offer. Buy games a lot more often, because that's a big thing for me. Like, I love buying cheap games.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Giuseppe and Alyssa are decent human beings. I'm apparently an asshole.
you know what? If someone blocks used sales, you're gonna whine for a little while, and then we're gonna be converted to sales.
Well, you know the thing is though, like, it's been rumored for so long that if it really does happen, I'll be like, all right. That sucks.
Honestly,
it's not gonna be much of a surprise.
I still doubt it will happen, but if it does, I'm not going to be bothered at all. And I don't think anyone is going to be bothered much by it, you know.
Yeah.
Because in the end, there is going to be an alternative. When there is a niche, there is someone that's going to cover it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Even GameStop, I don't think GameStop is going to go like quietly. They're probably going to have to go aggressive with their pricing and whatnot.
Like any other business, they're going to have to adapt or go away. that's about it. Yeah.
You know, they're going to go aggressive with their pricing and probably give discounts and, you know, perks and whatnot to try and keep business. So in the end, honestly, I think that even if they remove used games, it's going to turn around and be advantageous for the consumer in the end. Exactly. Maybe not immediately, maybe not in the short term, but the industry will have to adapt to it.
It's going to be interesting to see like what exactly they cover tomorrow at the Xbox event.
I can tell you, if there is going to be blocked use games on the new Xbox, they're probably not going to tell you tomorrow.
Oh, of course not. No, that's not something they come out and say. You know, they come out on a big stage fireworks. Hey, fuck you guys.
And you hear and you see and you start seeing that the tomato, Rotten Tomatoes thrown on
the stage. They just start smashing, you know, GameStop cases on, you know, like on the stage. No.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
It's going to be one of those things where they quietly kind of talk about it. It's not going to say blocked. It's going to have another term. And they're not
going to
put it at the forefront.
I'm going to ask you guys one prediction. What's your bet on the percentage of Kinect stuff we'll see tomorrow?
Well, you know what, Alyssa? You go ahead. She's still here? Oh, okay, she's here. I get scared every time now.
I'm right here. I know, I'm getting scared too every time. But to be honest, my prediction, I'm not actually really expecting that much. I think it's just going to be kind of similar to the PlayStation 4 kind of teaser thing. Like, it's going to like tease out a lot of things and kind of get you
Yeah, I mean, the question was, you didn't understand the question, Alyssa, you need to pay attention.
No, she probably just didn't hear you.
What percentage of Kinect stuff will see tomorrow?
Okay,
sorry.
Kinect games.
What percentage of Kinect stuff will see tomorrow in the presentation from Xbox? How many idiots will be there dancing on stage?
Oh, I know, right? I would say it'll probably be like, 40, something like that. They really love aggressively showing off the Kinect.
Yeah, I think it's the same.
That's a fair number. Because
maybe even 50.
Yeah. I mean, this next generation, exactly. This next generation, you're seeing, whereas like this current generation, two companies, their systems were pretty similar, but with the technology that they've introduced, that they're going to in the next generation, they're going to kind of branch off, and the Xbox seems to be going more for like the hub of entertainment for family.
Exactly.
And I mean, just from real life experience, I was at my 4-year-old niece's birthday party yesterday. And, you know, they didn't break out fucking Call of Duty or anything. No, they said, let's play Dance Central. It's probably, like, the best Kinect game ever.
It's probably the only decent one.
It's probably the only good one, yeah. So, I think they're going to take advantage of that. They're going to devote it a lot, obviously, to the technology, you know, to trying to one-up Sony's presentation. And they'll throw in some Kinect there. Yeah.
Actually, you know, there is one thing. Everyone thinks, oh, the Xbox 360 is not going to work if it's not online. What if the Xbox 360 is not going to work if Kinect is not on?
How would that? Okay, but how would that work though?
That's kind of scary.
Like if it
needs to be plugged in, then I don't give a shit.
Yeah, but the problem is that if all games require Kinect, that's what I'm scared of, honestly. Mm. Because honestly, If next Xbox 360 is so heavily geared on Kinect, so much that you actually need it to enjoy the games, I can play it because I don't have space. My gaming room is very, very cramped. I have like 4 screens around me and all everything. Basically, I'm in a little capsule.
My God. Like you're Ozymandias from Watchmen. Jesus.
Yeah, but you know what? I can't use Kinect because I don't have the space. I'm 3 feet away from the screen, so I definitely can't use Kinect even if I want to. And I'm not the only one. If they do that, they can forget. Like the Japanese market, because everyone is a cramped room there.
They live in little pods. Well, some of them do.
But I definitely think that Kinect is not for everyone, because there is a lot of people that can, even if you enjoy it, there is a lot of people that just don't have the space.
Yeah, it's very true.
So if they do that, I've been afraid of that, because if they do that, they're going to cut a lot of their customer base. Well, the more you add as a requirement, the more you cut your customer base.
Yeah.
You think it's an innovation, but it's a limitation as well.
That
exactly.
and people will say, you know what, F you. I'll just buy your competitor. It's that easy.
Yeah.
We'll see. Honestly, I hope they come out strongly tomorrow because I really want the next generation that's pitched. You know, we already have the Wii U that's pretty weak. And yeah, we really don't need another weak console. Honestly.
All I want, I know we're kind of going off now, but you know what the hell. But like, all I want is something. I don't want to watch the PS4 conference again. I want to see Microsoft do their own thing. You know, I don't want to feel like I have the same system because I have both systems now, PS3 and 360. I don't want to feel like I have both of them just because I want to play the exclusives. I want to have a different experience on each console, and I want to see that definitely portrayed in their
console. They're gonna have women on stage, that's for sure.
Oh yeah, well, you know, unless you want the ire of Kotaku, you better put women on stage.
Oh yeah, definitely. Oh, they're gonna do it just to be different for Sony, of course.
Yeah, Alyssa, what do you think about this thing tomorrow?
Well, like I was saying before, I mean, like, you know, I actually agree. I think that they do have to do something very different from Sony, because if they don't, it's just not going to stick out. Because that's kind of that's an issue, too, you see with, we saw, like, the past E3, like, you watched them, and...
Did we lose her again? Oh, my God.
I think we lost her again.
I think Microsoft is, like, they're just silencing her. They don't want her to speak.
Yeah, she got the Microsoft Men in Black in her house.
Yeah,
black. She now has chloroform in her mouth or something like that.
Oh God.
Okay, we can move on.
Yeah, like when she gets back, let her finish her point. So the other thing that obviously it's not on the same level as, you know, new consoles or whatever. But still news. For your favorite company, Nintendo. They have started
Nintendo.
I'm just referring more to Mario and your hatred for him.
Oh yeah, I like Nintendo for the console they make, not for the game.
Yeah. So they console started this they new
made.
Policy.
Sorry. I need to specify for the Go consoles ahead. They made.
Oh, okay.
Like past tense.
I got
the Wii U isn't exactly my favorite now. I like the 3DS though. I have to say.
Welcome back, Alyssa.
Nice little piece of hardware. Welcome back, Alyssa. What were you saying?
Where did it cut off?
Finish your point. Alyssa.
Oh, summarize it. I was basically saying that, honestly, I agreed. You know, I think that Xbox really has to do something that's going to differentiate themselves from Sony, because I think that was like an issue with E3 that, you know, the past E3s just kind of blended in together and you just didn't really care because it just seemed kind of the same. Like, it was just like, oh, graphics, whatever, whatever, you know, we're powerful, strong, it's like blah, blah, blah. They can't figure out a way to separate themselves to give you that different experience that no one's going to care, which is bad because they're introducing a new console.
You know the problem? The problem is that if they try to one-up Sony, I mean, that would be great, but there is an actually sound strategy they could come out, and I think it would be the most effective. Not to try to one-up Sony.
No, just do their own thing. That's it.
I mean, no, wait. Not just do their own thing. Just go less powerful and cheap. Like, very cheap. If they did that, I think they would actually be more successful than... They would sell a lot more than PS4.
Microsoft's going to come out and be like, guys, we're bringing back 16-bit. Drop the mic.
No. I mean, of course... A little bit of an improvement from the 360, yeah. More than a little bit. But, you know, not trying to go GDDR5, 8 gigabytes, super teraflop. You know, who cares? Because in the end, most of the games are multi-platform anyway.
Yeah.
And the multi-platform games, you know what? They're going to be geared to the lowest common denominator. So if the 360 is not as powerful as the PS4. The PS4 is the one that's going to suffer, yeah. Because they're going to do like they do for PC, you know, when they're gonna port it out from Xbox 360, and it's gonna look the same on almost the same on both consoles, and in the end, people are going to get the 360 for the 720 for cheaper, you know, if they manage to do
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
It's okay. if we manage to do it cheap, very cheap, and still not too less powerful, like kind of in the middle between the Wii U and the PS4.
So is that $355 price point you're talking about last week?
Actually, cheaper than that. Okay. I'm thinking about $250 here.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that would differentiate themselves.
I'm thinking about like even cheaper than the Wii U. I'm thinking going cheaper than anyone, and I think Microsoft is the only company that has the possibility to do that with their capitals and the economical power they have. If they did that, maybe even losing a little bit of money at the beginning, I think they'd have a serious chance of like completely overthrowing the market. Mm-hmm. I don't think they're gonna do it because they're too proud. You know?
Yeah.
But if they did, it would be smart.
Yeah. We'll definitely.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see tomorrow.
We definitely need to publish this. Well. We definitely need to publish this before the Xbox conference,
yeah.
Because how is it going to look totally stupid?
It's going to go up. So what we were starting to get into before was Nintendo.
Nintendo bashing Nintendo, huh?
Well, we're not really going to, I don't know, we might bash them, we may not, we'll see. They started this new policy, they're the first of, you know, quote, the big three to do this, to my knowledge, where if you, let's say you do a Let's Play video of a Nintendo game, Nintendo is now going to, and this is on YouTube, Nintendo's going to issue you, yeah, they're going to knock on your door, and they're going to take money out of your wallet. they're gonna send you a content ID match with that sound, and it's basically going to say, you have our product featured in your video, so now we get the money that you will be getting from this video, not you. And some people are upset. They're not gonna be doing Let's Play videos, and others are like, you know, Nintendo's just running a business. What do you guys think about Nintendo taking the money off YouTube videos?
On one side...
First, go ahead, Giuseppe.
On one side, I have to say, I actually looked into the policies of YouTube. Mm-hmm. And to monetize something, that something needs to be completely yours. So theoretically, let's play videos don't belong to the ones that do them. They belong to the content, a lot of the content that belongs to Nintendo. So in the theoretically, because of the YouTube policies, those videos shouldn't be monetized by themselves, by default.
Anyway, yeah.
But they are. So still, I don't think it's a cool move from Nintendo, because in the end, those people are advertising for them.
Yeah, it's free.
No matter how you say it. No matter how you put it, they are advertising for you. They are your ambassadors, as someone else said. So, yeah, they're doing work for you, and you cut their legs. You're stupid.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. That's a stupid move.
I've also heard too, because they don't actually have like a person differentiating the videos. They're using like automatic bots, right?
Yeah.
So I've actually heard from people that it's targeting reviews as well, because it can't differentiate between a Let's Play and a review, and that's really bad, because reviews are actually pretty legal.
the problem I see is that when you do it with music, you know that there is a music video of something else with the music on top of it, it doesn't really advertise the music that much, because the video is mostly about something else. The music is like a secondary character on that thing.
Yeah.
You know? But when you do it with a Let's Play video or something like that, that the game is the primary character, is the thing that the viewer uses the most. It's on his face. So in the end, it's really like very advantageous for Nintendo to encourage them to do. Like, look at the difference. Sony is encouraging people to put them on YouTube.
I know.
The whole system is built around that shit.
And Nintendo is trying to discourage them.
Yeah.
Like, are you shooting on your own fool? I can imagine Iwata picking up a shotgun and shooting on his feet, on his fool.
Like,
that's basically was, on his... No, that was basically the point I was going to get into. It's like, It did, look, whether like anyone who's listening or here on the podcast think it's right or wrong what Nintendo's doing, a big part of this is comes down to perception. And what it looks like is that Nintendo keeps stepping in shit, and like this is just another instance where exactly. It doesn't look like they're doing something. I mean, obviously they're gonna get more money by getting money from these videos, but they look like assholes.
But how much money, really? I think you all know how much money you get from these kind of videos. You don't get that, like.
No, you don't.
It's not $1 million.
No, it makes them look desperate.
For Nintendo, it's poultry money. So either they are really out of money, and I don't think they are.
Yeah.
They're not at all.
I doubt it, no.
They're really not, really. Yeah.
Because they are really, like, they're really ripping people off of poultry money. Yeah. I understand that there are some of those YouTube, how they're called now, YouTube celebrities. Personalities.
Yeah.
You know, that they are, some of them do a decent living. But even if they do a very decent living is poultry money for Nintendo.
Yeah.
I know.
So who they are going to pay with them? They're going to pay another employee? another guy that answers the phone? I don't know.
If I remember correctly, like some of the highest paid YouTube personalities, I think, make around like $1.5 million.
And that's not people that work on video games.
No, usually no. But I'm talking about guys who put on like constant content that get about like 2 million views per video weekly. They're pulling in about $1 million a year.
Yeah, that's great, but that's not people that do Let's Play.
No. Yeah. So it's like, no, I'm just saying, like, compare that those to people that do Let's Play. It's a lot less than that.
Those people that make that much money are people that make completely original content.
Yeah.
Because they are very careful about not having absolutely anything that's copyrighted in their videos.
Yeah.
Because they can't afford having anything that's even slightly sketchy. Mm-hmm. You know? Because in the end, YouTube, if you have a Let's Play, honestly, YouTube could take down your video. You could at the very least they could remove your monetization at every time, because it's against the monetization policies.
Yeah.
So it's in like, the end,
is this really worth it?
No, it's not.
No. Because,
I mean, I bet my whatever that if you put all those people that are being screwed off by this move by Nintendo, and you put all their earnings together, they don't make the yearly pay of Mr. Iwata.
Yeah.
Not even near.
And does this apply? I mean, does this apply to like to older Nintendo games too? Because people do a lot of Let's Plays with those as well.
You know, I think they do.
Oh my god! Like I said, stepping in shit.
Didn't Sega do that as well before?
I don't remember.
I think they did, and I think they got the same flack, and actually have to backstep. Yeah. But we'll see if Nintendo is a big company. They could have managed, you know. They are known for, you know, going their way, not caring about what people say. So, you know, we'll see.
Yeah. All right, so we've got one more thing to cover before we close this out. So we got some news coming out of Sony. On the same day as the Xbox reveal, they're going to unveil a new game. Well, I believe, Giuseppe, you can correct me, that it's just the working title is Panopticon?
Not exactly the working title.
Okay.
It's the title, it's a name that was copyrighted in Europe, actually.
Okay.
And it's the title, and it's the name that there is in the URL of the site. So people are thinking that it's called Panopticon.
For now,
don't know anything about it. I mean, it could be revealed fully, like, any time, because it says that it's revealed on the 21st, and it's already the 21st in Japan.
Yeah.
It's a very cool game. I mean, from what I've seen, very cool trailer, because, of course, we still didn't
watch
see
the trailer.
Game.
We'll put it up on the Shotcast post so you guys can watch it.
It's probably the coolest trailer I've seen in a while. I'm not sure if it's, like, for PS Vita, PS3, or PS4. I think it may be a PS4 game.
I was going to say, those graphics look pretty advanced.
Well, yeah, but that can be just a CG. That could be just CG.
Yeah.
Though, there is one thing. It's basically the same style of Gravity... Oh, crap. Name is going away from my mind now.
Well, I mean, like, the first thing that came
Gravity
to mind...
Rush, sorry.
The first thing that came to mind when I saw it was it had a real feel of cyberpunk meets anime. It made me think of Watch Dogs and Final Fantasy and 1. I know you brought up Monster Hunter.
Monster Hunter because they are the monsters.
Yeah.
People are killing monsters.
Yeah.
It's mostly because, I don't know if you ever heard The God Eater, it's Namco version of Monster Hunter.
No.
And there, it really looks kind of like that.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that one looks like Monster Hunter and this one looks like that one. So, made a little bit of a jump. You know, there is two things though. I think it's for PS4 for a simple reason. Because they are going to intentionally announce it on the same day of the Xbox 360 and then on the next Xbox, I think they are going to announce something big.
The next Xbox?
Since they are announcing on the same day of the next Xbox,
yeah.
I think they are going to announce something big. It can be something secondary, you know? Mm. It needs to be something that can steal a little bit of attention from that.
They're going
to
show us the black box finally.
It's a black box. I mean, what a surprise! That's... Now the black box. We're gonna see the black box in the tree.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. Just to jump off a little bit. That teaser video today. I honestly just heard your voice in my head. It's a black box. Yay! Because seriously, people are losing their minds. I'm like,
surprise!
Yeah,
people are posting steel frames with the details of the corners of the console, curious.
And like the only thing
he's
is like
to play games.
It's a square instead of a rectangle. Okay, nice. Thanks, guys.
Box.
as it works,
it's even more of a box. You
yeah,
know?
Yeah.
I even more like box. The GameCube did it before.
They're going to show a box in the day of the Xbox, but the big thing going back to this game. Mm-hmm. There is one. First of all, the team seem very interesting. Like there is this lady that is a cyborg and can see a score on the head of the characters, and that's probably how much those people are worth or something like that. I don't know, because there is one thing. If you look at the site, there is this. Could be age because there is a year on that. It could be a lot of things, but it's interesting because it actually changes. So it could be over 9,000, like power
9,000.
But you know, it could be everything. But there is this lady that is completely a cyborg. I don't know if she's a robot, like completely mechanic, or like a cyborg. So she's part human and part robot, but I think she's very much robot. She gets an arm ripped off of her during the trailer, and you know, maybe there is some kind of romance between a cyborg and a human. You know, there could be a lot of interesting things in this game, and moreover, I'm interested about the style, because I have the suspicion that Sony is going to do a little bit of an operation that I really would like if they did that. If they announced a big game, like for PS4, on the day of the Xbox, they would be giving an interesting message. And this is a Japanese-style game. Yeah. A very, very visibly Japanese-style game. And the message would be, okay, Xbox, you can keep your Call of Duty. Mm-hmm. You can keep your Western FPS made by the people, the ex-people at Infinity Ward, and we are going back to our Japanese roots.
Which
and we're
going to
kick
loyal.
Your ass with that.
Yeah.
Because if you look at the PS3, Sony went very much away from the Japanese rules. And people didn't like it that much.
Mm-hmm. Didn't it still kill the Xbox in Japan, though? Right?
Yeah. Still killed the Xbox in Japan, but that's Japan. I mean, Japan is Japan.
Of course.
But, I heard a ton of people that tell me, I'm not happy with the PS3, because it doesn't have enough Japanese games.
Yeah.
I love the PS1 and the PS2 because they had a ton of Japanese games, and I bought them for that.
The PS2 had such a diverse library, definitely.
Yeah, but I mean, diversity is great. I mean, I'm not talking about just putting out only Japanese games, but strongly, you know, putting them back into the lineup.
Yeah.
Because the PS3 didn't have them.
Yeah.
And according to me, actually, pushing on the Japanese games would be a bit of a 180, because I remember that Sony actually did events in Japan to push Western games, mm-hmm. which was absolutely, absolutely disgraceful for me.
Wow.
Yeah, because honestly, you have such a diverse background and you try to push Western games in Japan instead of pushing Japanese games in the West. I mean, great, push Western games in Japan, but also push Japanese games in the West. So you can push your whole portfolio. No?
Exactly. Yeah.
If they did this, if they actually pushed a lot on these kind of games, games that look Japanese and plays like a Japanese game and really goes back to those roots, I would be happy. We'll see.
I wish they would. Yeah. That was why like the PlayStation 2 was like my is one of my favorite consoles, just because it had everything. Whatever you wanted to play.
You wanted the Japanese game, you had that.
The PlayStation 3 didn't have it at all.
Yep.
I think
unfortunately, the PS3 didn't. PS3 didn't, and sorry, go ahead.
No, I was gonna say, like, this new game, aside from it being, you know, very Japanese influenced, it's just different, you know, like, no matter what, it's just so different from everything else that they've announced, you know, the shooters, Infamous, Drive Club. This goes so much against that. And then to announce it on the same day as Microsoft, who has basically, what we know already, Call of Duty is going to be a huge part of their presentation. And for years, that's been like their de facto exclusive. And then they're going to be showing FIFA because they want Europe. And Sony's going to say, you know, fuck you. We have this game that it just is so different from everything else. And
I mean, Sony really, really lost their roots with the PS3 for that. And I think they need to gain them back, because they have their Japan studio, and they made them make games that look Western.
Yeah.
Like the only game that doesn't look very much Western from Japan studio is for the PS3, that wasn't for the PS3, sorry, for the PS Vita, is Gravity Rush.
Yeah.
And this one actually looks pretty much, looks kind of the same graphical style. More polished, but, you know, it kind of looks like that.
Yeah.
So I think it's probably the same character design or something like that, because the character design is very similar. It's cel shaded. It's probably the best cel shading I've seen in a while. So, yeah, I definitely am curious. It's probably going to be already revealed by when the showcase comes out. Because, they say they're going to reveal on the 21st. And the 21st ends in Japan when it's 11 a.m. tomorrow in the U.S.
Yeah.
So they're going to reveal it sooner or later.
For us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I've been here F5-ing the site all the time, reloading.
Oh my god!
I can't wait to see it. I'm really curious.
I'll see it when I wake up. So we have one more thing from Sony is Gran Turismo 6. It was covered last week, but that podcast was lost in cybernetic oblivion. 71 layouts, 33 tracks, 1,200 cars. A new flexible rendering engine that features adaptive tessellation. Whatever
big
the
words.
Fuck that means, but it sounds really
it's like pseudoscience. It's pseudoscience.
Yeah,
basically.
It's like it sounds high tech. A redesigned, simpler menu interface and faster loading times. And it's been announced for the PS3. PS4 version is, quote, under consideration, so it's definitely for the PS3. We don't know for the PS4. The demo apparently comes out 2 months from now, and the rumored release date is end of November 2013.
That's probably going to be the same date that Gran Turismo 5 had.
Okay.
We'll see, but you know what? It looks awesome.
It does. I just don't want it to get lost in, you know, the next gen shit. I mean, Gran Turismo is a good franchise. But, I mean, Drive Club looks fucking beautiful, too.
And it does, but I you know what? I don't think Drive Club is going to compete as a simulator with Gran Turismo 5. Because I've seen out those suspensions moved in the presentation video of Gran Turismo 5 was like, fuck.
This guy's looking at suspension, so I'm just gonna I'm tossing the towel in now. What do you think, Alyssa?
Well, when I saw the trailer, I mean when I saw the screenshots, I was stunned. It looked gorgeous. And the funny thing is, I hadn't played Gran Turismo since 3.
Yeah, same here. I played 3 and a little bit of 4, but I didn't even play 5.
You chump.
Yeah. So you know, I hope that this one is something that I get really into, because I think games are realistic types. Yeah. So if this one's great, I'll absolutely buy it. I haven't played a really good realistic simulator in years, literally.
Ever since I saw pictures of Gran Turismo 3 in PlayStation Magazine when I was in high school, I've always said, yeah, like, every time they release screenshots, I'm like, the cars look real. And it's like, these screenshots for Gran Turismo 6, and I'll put these up in the post as well when we put up the podcast, those cars look real. It is just, and this is a PS3 game. I think my PS3 is going to explode when I put this game in.
Well, you know what? In the end, racing games have an advantage over every other game. They don't have that many objects on screen.
Yeah, yeah.
So they can push very, and those objects are less animated than you know, than a human being.
Yeah.
So they can really, really push on the quality.
Blow their wad on the cars. Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I think it also is that game and Grand Theft Auto V, two very, very good games to close out this generation with.
Grand Theft Auto 4 5 like, looks like kind of a game from 2 years ago, graphics wise.
No, for me personally, that's not even a concern. I mean, it's just like what they're doing.
They're still using the engine from Grand Theft Auto 3. Come on, Rockstar.
Three was from the PS2, Giuseppe. Come on.
The engine is still the same.
Do you mean 4?
No.
3.
Are you sure 3? That sounds a little weird.
That's 2001, bro.
I'm gonna check, but I actually... Wait a second.
While you check, I don't know about you, Alyssa, but like when it comes to Rockstar games, graphics they've always been secondary to me, because those games pull me in no matter what. I mean, what they're doing with the three characters, with the storylines, there's some other stuff that they're doing. The size of the world that you can get lost in it, because it's 5 times bigger than Red Dead. I mean, come on. Like, they got me already. They got me.
That's the thing. Like, I like looking at nice graphics, but for me, it's for any game, it's never been like my main thing. Mm-hmm. What I want is experience. And I think Rockstar has always been that company that's been like, okay, you know, we can have decent graphics, but we will always give you a great experience.
It's the immersion.
Exactly. Yeah. And I love
you feel
that.
Immersed with the Grand Theft Auto? It was the engine for Grand Theft Auto 4, which is still like 5 years old now.
5 years, yeah.
You can still recycle it. It's not that bad.
If I can put the game in and the storyline pulls me in, and all of a sudden, oh my god, it's 3 a.m, I've been playing this game for 7 hours. The graphics don't really, you know, that doesn't really resonate with me as much if the story.
Yeah,
really,
you know, the problem for me is that the stories of Grand Theft Auto never really pull me in, because I don't really like to play a dumb bass.
Oh my god!
Like, give me one main character from the Grand Theft Auto story that isn't an idiot.
Tommy Vercetti.
He's an idiot.
He's not, well,
a complete cretin.
He started,
not even Italian.
He started from the, well, he's Italian American, but he started from the bottom, and you know, he worked his way up to the top.
Yeah, like an idiot. Like a complete damn fuck.
What about Grand Theft Auto 3 guy whose name I forget? He didn't even say a word, and
it was so memorable.
Yeah,
that you don't even remember his name.
He didn't have to say a word, and he kicked ass.
I know, right?
You know, kicking ass is not exactly my idea of a cool character.
Yeah. Well, I mean, for 3, it was more the supporting characters that really made that game. They had some really good voice talent. Frank Vincent and Vice City had Ray Liotta. There were some other people in 3. I think, wasn't Steve Buscemi in Grand Theft Auto 3?
I have no idea. I forgot about that.
That's a long time ago. All right.
I forgot about that because I don't like it, but
Of course.
I mean, if you want a great game with great characters, same formula, just go with the Yakuza series.
I saw that one coming.
Or with Sleeping Dogs. Sleeping Dogs is pretty much
very good.
Almost same game, but yeah. It has the main character is not an idiot.
Especially if you like martial arts movies, Sleeping Dogs.
Yeah.
Right there for you. We're a little over time, so we're going to have to wrap it up.
So we're going to be paid more?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, hi, Alyssa.
Two coffees. I have one coffee.
Yeah. Alyssa, you're back just in time. We're going to end the Shotcast now. I forgot to...
What are you playing?
What are you playing?
Do it first so if you fall... So if you lose your connection again.
Yeah.
I know. Well, let me see. Right now, I've actually been retreating into old school. So I've actually started playing Shin Megami Tensei 3 Nocturne. I think also in anticipation for 4. So I'm so excited. So I'm like, let me just play Nocturne again and like get into it all over again.
All right. I'm playing Candy Crush some more. I don't care. And I'm getting started on Metro. And
Metro, which is the first game that has texture vaginas.
Yeah, I read about that. Can't wait. Giuseppe, what are you playing?
You're going to zoom all the way in, right?
It's going to go on my Instagram.
Yeah. It's going to go on your desktop. I know that.
What are you playing this week, G?
I've been playing... I did a big mistake. After I wrote the preview for Civilization Brave New World, for Civilization 5 Brave New World, I went back to play Civilization 5 because I had to, and it's sucking my life in. I've been not sleeping and stuff like that. It's bad. Someone just send me help, something like that.
I don't think I can mail any coke to Italy. I'm sorry.
And I think I played something else, but I forgot.
All right.
So, yeah, that's... I played some Rift as well.
Okay, cool.
Oh, yeah. All
right. Well, that's the Shotcast. We pretty much covered everything that we talked about last week. The only thing we didn't talk about was some stuff on Kotaku.
It's okay.
But
they're not worth our time.
They're not worth it. But if you want to know what we mostly think, you can go to Game Trailers, and there's a guy by the name of Marcus Beer who does the Annoyed Gamer segment. And he smashed them, and pretty much everything he said is what I thought. So you can watch that.
There you go.
And that's the Shotcast.
Yeah, a little too raging for my.
He raged. Case, yeah, he raged. I mean, the point was there. It was just kind of veiled.
Yeah, the point
in,
was there, but
a,
you know, when you rage like that, you make it weaker.
Yeah.
You kind of put yourself at the same level. And,
yeah. So I'm David Rodriguez, and on the Shotcast, we had our news editor, Giuseppe Nelva.
Bye.
And our staff writer, Alyssa James.
Bye.
All right. Take care and try not to, explode during the Xbox reveal tomorrow. We're out of here.
Yeah. Right.
Bye.